Welcome, welcome everybody.
Today we are joined with the lovely Shah. Today we're going to be discussing life with two under two and short age gaps. She has Freya, who is 2 years and 9 months, and Oscar, who is 9 months old. So let's get into it. How are you, lovely?
Yeah, not too bad, just a little bit tired.
Yeah, you said you got kept up all night last night.
Yeah, I think he's teething, so every hour.
Oh, that's the worst stage.
It is, isn't it? And there's nothing you can do for... When Leia was teething, they told me it was like little wiggly worms in her gums coming through, but obviously very painful. And I was like, imagine that always. You're like, it makes me feel sick.
Yeah.
Good job is they won't remember it.
Not exactly.
But do you know what? Then they get to like two in a bit and then those motherfuckers at the back come through.
No, Leia's had one already.
Oh.
She's got one of them already. Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah, it's not even that they're like
I can say that. She's my daughter. Yeah. She's been a bitch.
It's not that they're up. It's their mood. Yeah. I literally gave Jude back his dummy at that point. I'd got rid of it for like 4 months and I gave it back to him.
Take it.
I was like, just
take it.
I was quite lucky with Freya. She teethed really quickly. By the time she was one, she had 15 teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
And then by the time she was 18 months, she had them all.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really notice her teething that much apart from the back molars.
Yeah.
But she's always been quite sassy. Mm. And I used to always blame it on teeth. And then once she got all her teeth, I was like, shit, what can I blame her next week?
It's just sass. It's girls.
It's always the thing, though, isn't it? Oh, they're teething. Oh, yeah. Must be teething. Oh, she's teething.
No, do you know mine is, I must be tired or hungry. Yeah. That's fine. Always tired, always hungry.
Always tired.
We know he's hungry all the time.
Always hungry. He's always eating.
Always.
So that's all I do is buy snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Yeah, like, literally, all my money and all our food bill just goes on the snacks.
Yeah.
Drew always has a really good snack bag, actually, for Leia. I'm a bit always. Crap. You end up sharing.
Dude. So when we go swimming, I make sure I bring two of everything because otherwise Jude just absolutely goes through
Told
it
you.
All. And literally. Then the time I get to Leia, I was like, I haven't got nothing.
And especially after swimming, they're like absolutely
yeah.
Pringles is his number one, isn't
it? And now he's got Leia into it as well. Yeah. So they both sit there with a pot of Pringles and ate like an OJ or something.
Yeah. Gosh. So let's talk about you. Let's fit us.
Yeah.
So you had Freya, first of all.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your pregnancy. Were you trying to get pregnant for a while? How did that all work?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with polycystic ovaries, and I've had ovarian cyst as well, which I've had removed. And then I was always told I probably will have to go down the IVF route. So we were planning to get married, and then during COVID, our wedding got postponed with all the lockdowns and everything.
Mm, yeah.
And then we were thinking, we were like, do we... Because ideally, we wanted to have our wedding and then think about having children afterwards. But then we never knew how long COVID would go on for, lockdowns. So then we just decided, like, should we just start trying now? And especially with the rules around IVF that you have to be trying for a certain amount of time. And things like that. So it did take us a while to conceive Freya. And I remember I was obsessed. Like, I was... you know, ovulating. Mm-hmm. I was like doing everything I could to try and get pregnant. And after, you know, each month came, do the pregnancy test negative, and it was just soul destroying.
Mm.
And then
been there.
Literally, same as Drew.
It's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I remember I had like a non-hen do, so everything got postponed because of COVID. And then we had like a non-hen do in my mum's back garden, which was all, you know, within the walls and all of that. And
we won't tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't worry. We're not going to check.
We're not snitches.
Did you wear masks and did you have your distance?
We were distance and everything. No hugging or anything like that. No sharing drinks.
The way she said, you know, it was all law of mine.
All above board.
Yeah, all above board. And that month, I just relaxed, I guess. And I got absolutely twatted at this non-hen do. And my mum's convinced that was the night I conceived. I was like, I couldn't even walk.
That's how we wanted you.
Nothing happened that night at all.
That's it. My body was just so relaxed.
And it did happen that month at some point. And I was so shocked. I didn't believe it. And then, yeah, I was just really paranoid. I was like, is everything going to be okay? And things like that. So we had some early scans and stuff. And everything was okay. And, yeah, we didn't find out whether it's going to be a girl or boy. So it was a lovely surprise that we found out it was a little girl.
Oh, good for you.
It was... both pregnancies were quite smooth, but the birth was just a bit traumatic. So my waters broke naturally at home and then went into hospital, was contracting all through the day, and then it got to 24 hours after my waters had broke, And I was stuck at 7 centimetres. And I was stuck for about 8 hours at 7 centimetres.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
So then they were like, we need to kind of speed things up now, especially because your waters are broken, your risk of infection, baby's risk of infection. So they put me on the hormone drip,
mm-hmm.
which that definitely sped up things.
Yeah.
And within a couple of hours, I was at 10 centimetres and delivered Freya. At the point, I remember my husband, Michael, asking questions to the midwife, and there's a big red button in the labour rooms. And he was like, oh, what's this button for? And she said, oh, you know, if there's an emergency, we press it and the room, you know, gets full of people and things like that. But we probably won't need to use that at all. Anyway, we were so... when they put Freya on my chest, we didn't know it was Freya at that time. And he was, like, lifting the legs, trying to figure out if it was a boy or girl. He was confused with the cord. What is it? And we were so in our little bubble of, like, oh, it's a girl and all of this. And in... my midwife, she was so lovely, and she came up to me and she just really calmly said, don't panic, but I'm gonna press this button and the room's gonna fill up with a few people, but don't panic. And I was like, okay. And so she pressed this button and it was all lovely and calming with like fairy lights and things. Anyway, they put these bright lights on, and about 15 people came in, and they were coming up to me explaining who they were, and I was in no fit state to understand whatsoever. And they were, like, jabbing me in my legs and things. And then within a couple of minutes, I was whisked off to theatre.
Mm.
And so they didn't know what had happened, but I'd lost a lot of blood. And that's what they were worried about. They didn't know kind of what went wrong kind of down there.
Yeah.
And my poor husband got left in that room, like, blood everywhere.
Oh, bless him.
No idea what's going on. And then a cleaner came in to kind of clean the room, and he was like, what's going on? And she was like, I don't know, I just cleaned the room. And he's oh my God, is the baby okay? Is the shower okay, kind of thing? And it just, I just had a really bad, like, tear down there. So I had to go to theatre. Mm. They had to take my placenta out manually, and then kind of do the business.
Kind of
patch me up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And all the while, Freya's still on my chest. And
when
you're, like, you're a new mum, and you it's the first time you've ever held your baby, and you're in, like... this room with all these lights and things
and all
these
people. Yeah.
I was just a bit delirious, to be honest. And afterwards, the midwife said, you were amazing. Like, you didn't panic at all. But I think I was so spaced out. Like, I didn't even have a chance to think about it all.
And maybe actually having her there was more calming as well. Because if they'd taken her off of you, I imagine that's like, oh my God, where's my baby?
Yeah, is she okay?
Your husband was probably the one panicking.
Yeah, he literally was.
And it's like, just like you said, in a horror scene, basically, with all the blood and everything.
That's exactly how he kind of described it.
Yeah.
And then after a while, they were like, should we take Freya back to Michael? And then he'd never changed a nappy or put a nappy on, so bless him, he got like a tutorial in how to put the nappy on and the vest.
Oh, bless him.
And I remember I was so hungry because I tried gas and air during that labor and it made me so sick, and I'm so petrified of being sick that I hadn't eaten. And then when I came out of theatre, I was like, oh my God, I need something to eat. I'm so hungry. And it was the morning time, and Michael was sitting there with a cup of tea with Freya and a bit of toast.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I couldn't get some toast, could I? They were like, no, because you've just had anaesthetic, you need to be kneel by mouth till midday. I could have, like, cried.
You didn't get the toast.
You didn't get the tea and toast. But not,
but you need it straight after. You need the tea and toast right then and there.
I was so fuming. And then he was sat there.
Eating your tea and toast. Yeah.
Oh, divorce.
I told Sam all about the tea and toast scenario leading up to birth. And when it finally arrived, he went... well, it don't look like much. It was just toast with butter. I went, it's the best thing in the world right now.
Yeah.
My cup of tea, like, with so many sugars in it. Yeah. And he was like, really? And I'm like, I'm in heaven.
I didn't experience it twice. Oh. Both births.
Oh, no.
And I went off tea.
How traumatic.
I know, it is.
Yeah.
I went off tea during pregnancy both times. And so I couldn't wait for a cup of tea. And it was, once I got it was the best thing.
Isn't it? Bliss. Yeah.
So how was life with a newborn? Like, had you been around many babies before, or was it a shock to the system?
So I'm from a big family. I've got four older brothers and an older sister.
Bloody hell, you poor soul.
Christmas is expensive.
Yeah.
So, and they've all got, they're all older than me, I'm the youngest, so they've all got kids. One of my brothers has got four boys. So yeah, I've got a lot of nieces and nephews. But in terms of, like, obviously looking after and changing nappies and things like that, not much experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it was a complete shock to the system. And yeah, I was worried about everything. I don't know if that's just a typical kind of first
one. Yeah.
But I was so anxious. I remember checking her temperature constantly.
Oh my God, you don't sleep. And especially if they've been asleep for too long. I was like literally mirror under Ez's nose all the time to make sure it steamed up so she's still breathing. I was like, is she okay? Literally.
First time stand there and watch her chest like,
yeah,
is she breathing?
Yeah.
Sam used to try and talk to me. I'm like, shh.
Concentrating.
Wait. Yeah, it's fine. She's breathing.
Yeah.
And especially like the sleeping part, like waking them every 3 to 4 hours. Freya had quite severe jaundice when she was born. Mm. So she was under the light therapy and things like that. And they were like, it's really important. She needs to keep on, you know, feeding and things like that. And I remember she was born 2 days before Michael's birthday. And I was then in hospital for like another 5 days while she had her treatment.
Is that because of your blood loss? Because of her jaundice?
At first it was because of me, because I had really low blood pressure because I'd lost a lot of blood.
Yeah.
So they kept me in and then they were like, okay, you can go home. And I was really excited. Like the next day was Michael's birthday. I was like, I think it was Father's Day. And I was just really excited to be getting home. And then the midwife, I was pretty much packed, and she looked at Freya and she went, she looks a bit yellow. And then they done the test and they were like, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to stay in. Mm. And I just, yeah, it was just soul destroying. Aww. I was just so excited. Yeah. Just to be out of hospital.
Get out of there.
Yeah, so it stayed there, and because of COVID there were stricter rules around mm-hmm. visiting and things like that, so I felt really alone. And obviously you just gone through a bit of a traumatic end to a birth.
Mm-hmm.
Got you know, first time mum, and you just kind of left to kind of just
deal with it. Yeah.
And the only visitor I could have was Michael. It had to be the same, it had to be your birthing partner at the time. So like my mum couldn't come and visit and things like that.
Yeah.
And obviously my mum's got a lot of experience, so she would always be the one that I would ask, you know, what to do, you know, is the baby okay and things like that. Whereas me and Michael were navigating it.
Yeah.
A new kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she had quite high levels of jaundice, so I was always worried about her feeding and like when she wouldn't wake up, because I didn't want her to go back into hospital. And they were like, you need to keep on top of the feeding, make sure it's like flushing out. So I was constantly like, I need to wake her and like bless her. She was probably
just want to sleep.
Yeah, so.
But you did as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't think I've slept properly since 2020.
Those were the days.
Pre-COVID. Oh,
bless you.
Yeah.
So, how...
That's funny.
Yeah, it's true.
You say the same thing in 24. I haven't slept properly since 2020.
It's true. My mum always says, after you have a baby, you never actually sleep properly because you're constantly still listening out. Like, she's like, even when we were living there, like, say if we've gone out clubbing or whatever and then going back there, she'd still be, like, half asleep waiting for us to come back in.
My mum and dad are the same. My mum says, like, we always used to wait up. We were in bed. You're never fully in that deep sleep.
Yeah.
And until we knew you came through that door, we always knew when you came through the door.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like barrel through the door sort of style. But yeah, I think that's a parent thing, isn't it? I think that's for a long time now.
Yeah. So how long, how old was Freya when, did you try for Oscar or?
So yeah, we tried for Oscar. So Freya had a really bad 4 month sleep regression, and I thought, oh my God, I can't do this again. And where our wedding got postponed, it was right around our wedding time, and I was like a zombie, and I was thinking, oh my God, how are we going to have a wedding? And I'm going to walk down an aisle feeling like this.
Yeah.
And I put on a stone within 6 weeks from just eating tea and biscuits just to keep my like energy levels up, because I was just so sleep deprived. And I remember saying to my mum the night before our wedding, I'd got the wedding dress a couple of months prior, and I was in my head, I was thinking, what if I don't fit into my dress? I've not tried it on for like a couple of months now. And it just done up. And I was like, oh my God, like, could you imagine if I couldn't get into the dress on the wedding day?
Oh my God, yeah, you left that late, didn't you?
I know.
Night before sitting there.
Where we had our wedding planned, I always thought, oh, it was the beginning of 2020, I was going to get our the wedding dress. And then COVID happened, and I thought, oh, we'll see what happens and things like that. And then we went into lockdown, and then we made a decision to postpone the wedding, purely because at the time I think you could only have like 15 or 20
people. I was going to say it was like 15 people, wasn't it?
And I've got... Four older brothers.
Yeah. Sister, got 15 brothers.
Yeah. Older kids. Yeah. That would just be my family. And then I just remember thinking, oh my God, I don't think I could ever do this again. Like, she just didn't sleep. Every 45 minutes she was awake. I just thought, no, this, you know, I don't think I would want any more. And then her sleep got better, and things did get better. And I do say to people now, everything is a phase. It seemed really shit at the time, but it does pass eventually. And it did with Freya. She's a great sleeper now.
It's crazy, isn't it? Because I think when you're in it, you just don't ever see any light at the end of the tunnel. And then now I like look back and I think, I can't even remember those days where he wasn't sleeping. Like,
exactly.
I mean, Leia's always been amazing, hasn't she? She's been really good sleeping.
I'm really lucky.
But Jude, even now, I have to put him in my bed to go to sleep and then move him into his cot. And 9 times out of 10, he still wakes up and gets in with me in the middle of the night. And literally, I haven't slept since 2020 either. Honestly, so I feel you with that. Like, the sleep for me was the hardest thing. But then when I look back on it, I can't really remember it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it is like a new phase.
The
like,
good outweighs all the bad. Yeah. Absolutely. Doesn't it? Yeah.
But when you're in it, oh my God, it's like the trenches, isn't it? You don't feel like you're ever going to come out the other side.
No, exactly that. And I just thought, I can't do this ever again. And then it did get better. And then probably when she was about 9 months, we just thought, do you know what? We want 2 kids quite close in age. Like, we're knackered anyway. Let's just be knackered for a few more years.
Yeah.
Michael and his brother are quite close in age. Me and my brothers and my sister, they're all a lot older than me. So my brother is... the youngest older brother, if that makes sense. He's 7 years difference.
Okay.
So when I was like 5, they were all then teenagers.
Yeah.
And then different kind of like stage of life. So I kind of grew up, although I'm from a big family, a bit of an only child in that sense.
Yeah.
Because it's very different, you know. So I kind of, I wanted Freya to have a sibling quite close in age because I, just from my personal experience really. And to hope that they can grow up and have similar interests and we can do things that, you know, that the fit their age categories. So we started trying. And then, although it took quite a long time with Freya, we did conceive quite quickly. But unfortunately, we miscarried.
Sorry to hear that.
So that was kind of hard to go through that.
Yeah.
And then we just... I wasn't as obsessed this time around. Like, with Freya, I was, like, tracking everything, and I thought, do you know what, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, kind of thing. And then it just, again, where I kind of just wasn't thinking about it, and we relaxed, it happened. But then I was just, again, quite nervous about, you know, miscarrying and things like that. I had an early bleed about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
But we went for scans and things and everything.
I was going to say, did they, like, up your scans and everything because of the miscarriage?
Yeah, so we had a couple of, like, private ones, but then the NHS, we had a couple. And then Freya was kind of a biggish baby. She was 9 and a half at birth. And then, we didn't find out what Oscar was, so we didn't know if it was boy or girl. And he was measuring quite big as well, so we had even more scans. They thought I could... gestational diabetes.
Oh yeah.
So I had a lot of tests for that. And then yeah, so everything was going okay. And I got to the 12-week mark and I felt a lot happier, like you just kind of relax a little bit. I did tell my mum a bit earlier, so first time round I didn't really tell anyone until the 12-week with Freya. One, it was lockdown.
Yeah.
And two, I just wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah.
But this time around, I did tell my mum. It was kind of harder to kind of hide it.
Yeah.
Especially because we weren't in lockdown and things like that. Also having a toddler.
I was going to say, how was pregnancy with a toddler?
So the first trimester was really hard. I was just tired, really tired, really nauseous. I was never sick. I was quite lucky in that sense, but I was just constantly felt sick. And yeah, it was just, it was tiring because you're just running around after another little one and they don't understand.
No.
You know, if you want to have a lay down or whatever, yeah, they don't give a shit.
No.
So, yeah, it was tiring. But then come the second trimester, I just got a burst of energy and, yeah, I felt okay. I was working part-time and then on my days off, you know, I'd take Freya out and we'd still go and do all the things that we used to do, like soft play, swimming and things. And then they kept measuring for Oscar just to make sure, like, his weight and things like that. And then at 38 weeks, well, before 38 weeks, I think I had to scan at 36 weeks, they said, we think we should induce you because he's measuring about 10.5 pounds.
Oh, wow.
You could gain 0.5 pound in the next, you know, 4 weeks kind of thing. And I remember having the conversation with the consultant and I said, would you recommend like a cesarean? Because if they're that big.
Yeah.
Or an induction. And he said, I think an induction, but we'd do it sooner rather than later, because if he gets too big, then you try to deliver naturally, you could have... their shoulders could get stuck.
Yeah.
And then it could be quite dangerous for both you and the baby. And hindsight's a beautiful thing. And I thought cesarean could be an option. But then I thought, I've got a little toddler as well to look after.
Yeah, and 6 weeks.
Recovery's tough. Like,
so I thought, now we'll go with the induction. So it was booked. And it's really weird when you've got something booked to go into because you're knowing you're going to have your baby. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Freya, I was just waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
And my water's just broken the night. So it's a bit of a different experience because you're just like, right, I've got this date. I know.
So how many weeks were you at this point, sorry?
38.
38.
So they wanted to wait until 38 because after 37, everything's pretty much good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, went in for the induction and I had, I can't remember the medical term for it, but I had excess fluid. I was holding a lot of water.
Oh, polyhydraneous? Yes.
Say it with confidence, you got it.
Polyhydraneous. Sounds like
you
a flower.
You know what we mean.
It sounds like a flower. I don't think I've got it right, but poly something.
Medical, so, like, difficult to say.
I know. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I had that anyway. And so my bump was quite high. It was really uncomfortable by the time I got to 38 weeks. I had a couple of days where I just finished work at 37 weeks, had a couple of days to myself when Freya was at nursery, and then, yeah, scheduled in for the induction. So they examined me, and they were like, your cervix is quite soft, so we can just break your waters, because I might have had to have the balloon to, like, open up your cervix and things.
Oh. So never heard about the balloon.
Have you not?
No.
Yeah, so we had the pessary, didn't we?
Yeah.
Us two. But yeah, the balloon is, I think it's if your cervix isn't soft to open it. Well, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. I was already 1 centimetre. I think you were.
I was.
Yeah, we already was.
Yeah, started. So I was at 1 centimetre as well. So
yeah.
She could get up there and pop the water.
Lovely, isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the amount that came out.
Shanine said that last week, didn't she? Because she had the same. She had polyhydraneous.
Hydrangea?
I think that's like, yeah,
that is
I
don't a
know.
Flower.
Polyhydramos? Yeah.
I don't know.
Hang on, I'm going to have to look it up.
Poly high. She delivers them with such confidence sometimes. I just believe what she says.
Polyhydramnios.
Okay.
I'm nearly there. Yeah.
And even the midwife stepped back. And Michael was with me in the room and I looked over to him and even his face was like, bloody hell, like... Like the amount that came out and just the pressure.
Yeah. Oh, a bit of the relief. Like, yeah.
Breathe again. And so she was like, right, we're going to check you in about 4 hours and we're going to see how you dilate between now and then. Why don't you go for a walk, go for some lunch and stuff? And I was thinking, okay, nice sunny day. Let's just walk to the corner shop, get an ice cream. And I forgot that we have different pockets of water. So although she's broken my waters, that's not
front
all of
and
them.
Back, yeah.
So we're walking back on the shop, and I'm like, I can just, it just feels like you're wetting yourself.
You can't stop it, you have no control. And then I cupped mine, and Sam's like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know, I can't stop it.
I'm literally down the street or by Worthing Hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm like Hansel and Gretel, but with not bread, but water, just like, there's a trail behind me. And I'm like, oh my God. And I said to Michael, I need to go back to the room. I can't be doing this. me.
Sorry, that was so
great. That was so good.
Oh, I just felt embarrassed. Obviously, I looked pregnant, so I'm hoping people thought I'm pissing myself.
Yeah. They might have. Well,
yeah. That's so incredible. That's really dumb, mate.
That's cracked me up.
And he even took a photo of me, and I've got leggings on, which I don't know why I wore leggings in June whilst pregnant as well. And they look leather. Where they're so wet. And yeah, I ate my ice cream and I said, right, we need to go back to the wall.
What ice cream was it? Just
it was Magnum.
Oh, I love a Magnum.
Can't beat a Magnum, it's a classic.
Yeah. White one as well.
Oh yeah. Just painted the picture of you in your wet look leggings.
Oh god, yeah, it was awful.
On a pretty summer's day.
So yeah, we went back to the room and we're just kind of just waiting really just to see how things were, and I wasn't really getting any like contraction feeling and things like that. And then she checked me later on and I was only 3 centimetres, so I think it was like 6 hours later I'd only gone up to 3. And she said the same. She said, because your waters are broken, we need to kind of speed things on. We're going to put you on the hormone drip. I was like, okay.
Here we go again.
So they put me on the hormone drip, and I can't do the gas in air. It made me really sick. So she was like, do you want the gas in air? I was like, no, don't want that. And I don't know why, I just didn't want the epidural. After I had Freya and I went to theatre, I had a spinal block, which is pretty much the same thing. And I just had, like, back pain since, so I didn't really want the epidural. So I just thought, I'll just see how I get on. And then I remember asking her, I was like, as the evening went on, it happened quite quickly. Like within 3 hours, I was fully dilated through the hormone drip again. But I kept wanting to know how many centimetres I was, because if I was 4 centimetres, give me all the bloody drugs you got. But if I'm like 9, I'm nearly there, I can deal kind with, of deal with it. But she kept saying, there's no medical reason for me to examine you. Unless you want the epidural.
Just tell me.
I know. Like, I just need to know. If I'm nearly there, I'm nearly there. But just please tell me. So I was like, fine, give me the epidural, because I just want to find out where I am. And she was like, I think you're nearly there. And I was like, well, am I or aren't I? Because I
just
need
fucking
something.
Put your fingers at me now.
Michael, step up.
And so I said, I want the epidural. So she checked me. She was like, you're 9 centimetres. I was like, fuck, great. I'm nearly there. I can do it.
They don't let you do the epidural then anyway, do they? Yeah.
Anyway. But then...
But you thought, ha!
Yeah. But then things started just to go a little bit wrong. So with every contraction I was having, Oscar's heartbeat was going up. But then when your contraction ends, it should start coming down. But his wasn't coming down, and his was staying up. So it was signs of he was in distress. And then, so I got to 10 centimetres, and this kept happening, and the midwife wasn't happy. So they went and got the doctors, and the doctors come in, and again, they weren't happy. Where he was positioned so they could feel where he was, I wasn't quite there to push him out. He wasn't in the right position. So they said, look, we need to go to theatre. Do forceps. And I said, okay. And again, like, having these intense contractions, and they want me to sign the bloody paperwork.
Oh, I know.
To say, do you consent to whatever? I don't even know what I consented to. I just signed it. So we went into theatre, and I remember asking Michael, I was like, did it seem, because I was so in and out of it, there was pieces missing. And I said, was it like quite serious? And he said, when they were like talking about going into theatre, that's when he was like, shit, this is getting a bit serious now, and he had to gown up and things. So we went into theatre and tried forceps a couple of times. But again, Oscar's heart rate was...
He was getting in a pickle, wasn't he?
Yeah. And before they'd done forceps, they actually took some blood from him. So they went up and...
They take it from the head, don't they? Yeah.
Oh,
I think they'd done that to me.
That's made me feel a bit queasy.
I know. It wasn't... Well, I mean, I was so out of it, I didn't really know what was going on. But afterwards, you're like, shit, that they do that.
Yeah.
And they can check the oxygen levels, and his were dropping. So that's why they wanted to go straight to the theatre for forceps. So they tried the forceps. That didn't work. So they put the spinal block in, which is like the epidural, And then they ask you to push, but you don't know what you're pushing because you can't feel anything. And by this point, I'd laboured all to 10 centimetres.
Oh, bless your heart.
And I, with all my energy, I was really trying, but Oscar just was not coming out. So then they said, right, we need to do an emergency category 1 caesarean. And within 7 minutes, he was out.
They're so quick, aren't they?
So, so quick. But it was so awful because anaesthetic makes me really sick. Gas and air makes me really sick. I'm laying on this bed. Obviously, we didn't know what Oscar was. And we had this lovely moment when they held him up. And we got to see that he was a boy. And really happy. And then I'm just being sick. And where I'm lying down, you can't, like, obviously...
It's all just going down your side of your cheek.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed.
And I should laugh.
Was such the loveliest man on this planet. I think his name was Ben. And he just kept me calm the whole way through. And he was like, oh, let me just get the sick out of your ear. And I was like...
Well, that's a phrase you don't think you're ever going to hear. Let me get the sick out of your ear. I done it. I was literally laying there like that, and I was sick, projectile up, and it was black. I had pephidine. I don't know why it was black. I was sick in the air, and it landed back in my face. Aww. And I was like, oh, my God.
God bless you.
It was awful. It's so awful. I completely get it. I'm always sick in labour.
I didn't throw up.
I always am. I'm really funny with anything like that.
Yeah. I had shivers as well. I was going cold and cold. And then they tried to put Oscar next to me, and I'm being sick.
Oh,
can you move him for a second?
Get me the bowl there, please. Yeah. Come on, baby.
It was just horrific.
Oh, and bless you.
Hindsight is a beautiful thing. When I had that consultant appointment, to have the cesarean and not go through that labour, and then to have it anyway. Literally, I I'm so lucky that all of his levels were absolutely fine. Literally, as soon as he came out, he was just a bit stuck, and they said they thought the cord was around his neck, and that's why he wasn't kind of coming down.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's great. He was 9 and a half, same as Freya. So if I'd gone full term, he might have been 10 and a half.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just like wild. I don't know if the second boys, ones are
it's
wild
boys.
Or boys.
I don't
know which one it is.
Well, I can't comment.
The sassiness we can both all vouch is the girls.
There's definitely sass there.
Yeah. Boys are just honestly, he's the most easy, placid kid. Like, rarely has tantrums, but he is on the go 24/7.
I've got
eyes in the back of my head. But he's not, like, hard-working, like Ez would be, like, throwing herself. I remember one day we were in WH Smith's and she threw herself on the floor and I said, Ez, get up, because there's all germs on the floor. And she stood up and went, I don't want Germans. And I was like, oh, God. But yeah, that was, like, literally... ongoing with her, so I completely agree with the boy thing. The boy. So, how did you find recovering with a newborn and a toddler and a cesarean?
Superwoman.
Yeah,
I did struggle.
Yeah,
it was really hard. Michael had his 2 weeks like paternity, and Oscar had high levels of jaundice, so I was really annoyed because I kept asking, because Freya had it, I kind of knew what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, does he have, is he jaundiced? And they done this little, all they did was press his forehead and was like, no, don't think he's jaundiced.
It's a colour, it's meant to pop up.
Yeah, but didn't actually do the proper test.
Right.
And I wish I was just more assertive, but I was bloody, I just was not with it. And I really thought he was jaundiced. And then I went home the next day. We got Freya back. We introduced Freya to Oscar. It was lovely. And then the community...
She's two at that age, yeah?
No, yeah, she literally just turned two.
Turned two, yeah, because there's 2 years and...
9 months. So they're 8 days.
Yeah.
Their birthdays are a week apart.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, and your partners.
And yeah, so...
And Father's Day.
And Father's Day.
Well...
Well
mom,
done.
My mum and my nephew are the following week in June as well.
Oh, God, so, yeah, that sounds my October.
Yeah,
that's awful.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm saving already. So, yeah, the community midwife came round and literally she walked into the front room. She went, he's jaundice. And I was like, I knew he was. And I got so upset because I knew what was happening. I was going
Let's go back in, yeah.
And it was harder this time round because with Freya, I had a natural delivery. Obviously, I saw where I had a second degree tear, but I was even worse this time around because the cesarean, I could hardly move and things. So I knew what was coming and I got really upset. When I went, the midwife did say to me, well, you'll get your own room, which is the only kind of positive note. So you can have people, you know, come see you and things like that. So we went back in and had the light treatment. And like you say, with boys, I think they are more placid and things like that. They are a bit more wild and on the go. But when Freya had the light therapy, they have little masks on. And she was just grabbing hers, taking it off. And it was just a nightmare. She cried the whole time and she needed to be under the lights. So it was really hard to comfort her because she needed the treatment. Oscar, he was literally just like,
this is the life.
Yeah, he was so chilled. And I think I was a bit apprehensive that he was going to be like how Freya was. And he wasn't. He was just so chilled. And I did get a bit of rest because he wasn't, you know, upset and things like
Maybe
that.
Maybe that was the best place for you, though, in all fairness.
So you could actually get a bit of time. And then, so I spent like another 5 days having treatment, well, for Oscar anyway. And then, it was tough recovery. I kept thinking, am I ever going to not feel this pain? And it did. I think it took to week 5, and that was a turning point where it started to get a little bit better with the pain and things. And it was really hard having Freya because she'd want cuddles.
I was about to say, how did you manage that after Michael gone back to work to then be like picking her up and stuff? You can't really, can you?
No. So I was so lucky. My mum lives around the corner. And she was abroad when I had Freya. She was out in Spain living her retirement life, but she came back, and so she was around the corner. So she come every day, and she would help. So in the morning, Michael would get Freya out the cot, get her like kind of changed and dressed, and then like an hour later, my mum would come round.
Oh, that's handy.
And she'd be there for the day, or she'd take me to her house, and I'd be there for the day. So she'd be able to help me with Freya and things. So I was so grateful that I had that support because I just don't know how I'd get through it. Week 5 was a turning point. I found just keeping on top of my pain relief for 6 weeks plus was the best thing I could have done because that just really helped.
That's what they said to me. They said, even if you don't feel like you need it, take it because it's then in your system because at any time it could change on you. And I swear, because I listen to people's recovery of their C-sections and stuff, and whenever I get asked in the past, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, I was up doing the washing and the hoovering and just going about life, but I swear to God, it was the pain medicine. I just kept popping it left, right and centre. I probably wasn't meant to take as much as I did, but I did. I was just absolutely wired the whole time. Absolutely, anyone that else goes for a C-section, that is the best advice I can give you. When they say to you, keep on top of your medicate, do it. Even if you feel like, oh, I'm getting better all of a sudden. No, you're not, trust me. That's false leading of the mind.
It was my brother's girlfriend that actually said to me, keep on top of it and keep taking the pain relief. And that's the best advice I could give for a cesarean. And like, not to scare anyone, like, I think mine was just a bit all over the place with, you know, being induced and then labouring and things like that. If it was a planned cesarean, I think it would be a very different outcome and recovery as well.
Because if you think you've still dilated all the way to 10, you had that as well. You had dilated quite a bit, hadn't you? And then had to go through it as well.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'd had enough. I'd had enough. And it was, I hadn't had any, I had no gas and air. I had none of that hormonal drips. Like, I had no pain relief. Like, and I was going for all this, and the other half was just sitting there in the corner, and I was getting really frustrated with him because he was having a lovely time. And I was just like, just get her out of me. I've had enough. Just get her out of me. And you're right, they make you sign away, and you're just like, I'm so tired. It's like 4 a.m. What am I signing? But
That's one because I had a cancelling session afterwards because I just kept replaying that day and like what kind of went wrong because it was all going lovely and then literally towards the end it just went wrong within like an hour it just all went a little bit wrong and I'd asked Michael but they wouldn't explain things too much. I think they just don't want to like scare or worry you at the time and panic you so I actually had a really good session. So she's a trained therapist and a midwife at Worthing Hospital. Her name's Annie.
Is this called Birth Stories that you did?
I don't know. It was just the midwife just gave me like the contact details. Yeah. It might be.
Because that's what I had quite a traumatic time with Jude, and that's what they referred me to. And they went through all of my notes and then explained it. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Really helped. It
really did help. And it just put the missing pieces of the puzzle together for me to understand kind of what went wrong, why it went wrong, and how I ended up having that emergency cesarean and things. And so I found that really, really good, and I would recommend it to anyone if anyone's had a traumatic kind of birth. But it just made me laugh when you said about your other half. She was going through the notes, and the midwife was obviously making notes on everything. And it would be like, Michael's having refreshments. Michael's having a little sleep. Michael's having a...
Fucking Michael's having a good time.
I would bloody love to know what they wrote about Sam.
I'm glad he's having a good time.
Yeah.
He got like full boarding as well. Yeah. You know, every time I looked over, he's bloody eating.
Drew is threatening Sam. Drew has thrown something at Sam. that would be ours.
Yeah. I'd love to like look back at like Freya's notes and see.
Yeah.
And stuff. But yeah.
Oh, so 6 weeks then, you obviously are able to do everything. How was life after you had recovered and then having two babies?
So for me, my recovery, like even now, like my scars still like throbs and stuff. And it has taken and it is taking a long time, like for me personally to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got a lot of back pain. I don't know if that's from the spinal block or just carrying two massive Hulk children.
Mm-hmm.
I found it easier the second time around with Oscar. I wasn't anxious. You're just a lot more relaxed with it. And it is the hardest part is when they both want you or they both need you. And obviously Freya being as young as she is, she's a little bit independent, but she's not that independent. At the time, she was still in nappies as well. I hadn't potty trained, so I needed to do that. And I don't know why I thought it was a good idea, like, literally 6 weeks after having Oscar to start potty training. Nursery kept saying, we think she's ready. And I just thought, I'm just not ready.
I'm not ready, no.
Not mind her, I ain't.
Yeah.
And
she was quite young then. I mean, saying that, Ez was young. Jude's only just got potty trained now and he's just turned three, so I feel like maybe they're just a bit delayed, but that's quite young, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
To be like, yeah,
well, I tried when I was about 34 weeks pregnant, but I just couldn't do the bending.
Yeah.
And I tried for a day and I thought, why am I doing this? Like, yeah, there's no rush.
Yeah.
And she kind of was grasping the idea, like they kept saying at nursery she's watching other kids go on the potty and she wants to go on the potty and stuff, and I just thought, why am I like putting myself through this?
Yeah.
And then I just thought, well, now's a good time while I'm on maternity leave. Let's give it a go. And that got a little bit easier once she, you know, could sit on a potty and wee herself and things like that. But it's a guilt. So, like, if she's like, Mummy, I need a wee, and I'm like, I'm feeding Oscar, I've got to put him down. He's crying while I take her. And at first, it's that was hard to kind of... Aww. Navigate, I guess, because you just feel really guilty.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, please don't cry. But then I kind of, you know, unfortunately, there's one of me, and
you can't split yourself.
Yeah, I got a bit tougher because I felt really bad and guilty, but I was like, do you know what? I'm doing my best.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to wait while I sort her. She's gonna have to wait while I sort him.
Yeah,
it is what it is. And that was the toughest thing I found.
So that's the toughest. What would you say is the best thing about having them close in age?
I'm hoping that, you know, they'll grow up very close. And like I say, we'll be able to do a lot of things that are to their ages and things like that. At the moment, so Oscar, probably since December, his personality's coming through. He's crawling, he's cruising, he's all sorts. He just follows her around.
Aww.
He absolutely loves her. He laughs at her. And it's that interaction that I'm like, oh.
Do you think his development has come on more because he's got an older sister to copy?
I think so. So
yeah.
Gives him sort of the push.
Yeah. So Freya crawled at like 9.5 months. She was a bit of an early walker. So she crawled literally, she walked the next month. So 10.5 months,
wow.
She started walking. Oscar's crawled at 6 months, and he's been cruising since then as well.
Oh, wow.
Like standing. I don't know if he'll walk anytime soon, because he just... I don't know whether he just doesn't hasn't got that confidence. You know? Mm-hmm. Like he'll let go and he'll go, oh no, I don't like this, and just go down.
Yeah, it's so funny to watch, isn't it? Like, oh
yeah, they suddenly panic.
But yeah, I think that does help because he just wants to follow her.
Yeah,
and literally she'll leave the room and he's like, oh, where are you going? I want to come with you. Oh. And he just absolutely adores her. Although we've just entered like the phase of like pulling the hair.
Oh
like
yeah,
that. And. So I feel like a bit of a referee at times because I'm like, oh, God. And he's got no fear. He's all over her. He's, like, climbing on top of her and, yeah, it's like WWF moves. but, yeah, she does adore him and, like, well, I put him down for a nap today and she's like, oh, can I cuddle him and kiss him goodnight and things like that. And it's really sweet because she does. She's a bit like a mother hen.
Yeah.
Like nursery say, she likes to look after the other kids and things.
Oh, that's so cute.
So, yeah, she does adore him. But then on the other hand, if she's doing something like puzzles or colouring in and he's interfering...
Oh, no.
Yeah, she gets the right hump.
So, yeah.
And it's that as well. But it's lovely to see their interaction. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah,
it's really nice.
So we've had a couple of questions come in. Obviously, somebody has said, which you've already answered, when did you start trying for the next one? So it was around 9 months, wasn't it, that you started? Yeah. And then someone's put... Are they doing okay? If yes, then how? And if no, can we be friends?
I think that's like, are you doing okay? Are you okay?
Are you okay? If you are, how then are how? You,
yeah, because
they're not.
The lady that's done it, she's got two under two. So she's saying like, how are you doing this? Like, can we be friends? And she's fantastic, by the way. Yeah, like, you want to be her friend. She's hilarious.
Do you know what? Like, a lot of people say to me, like, how do you do it? And I literally wing it every day.
Yeah.
Some days I'm up and I'm dressed and everyone's dressed and they've had their breakfast and we're at Mighty Mites at 9 a.m. And other days I don't know what's going on. Like they're crying at me, you know, first thing in the morning, both of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every day is different and it literally is winging it.
You just get on with it, don't you?
Yeah.
And like I say, the hardest part is the guilt. But unfortunately, there's one of me.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait if I'm dealing with the other one.
Yeah.
And things like that.
And what is the best piece of advice that you'd give somebody, either just finding out that they're having a new baby when they've already got one, or planning to? What would be your best piece of advice for them?
I definitely think having support around you, that's, you know, massive. To have that help. It is really hard at times. But it's also amazing at times.
Mm.
And, like, my mum will have my daughter for a few hours. I'm still really lucky that we saved before I went on maternity leave so that she can continue her couple of days at nursery. And that gave me time to, like, have time just with Oscar
as
well.
Yeah, that's nice.
Because I felt really guilty that with Freya, she had my 100% attention.
Mm.
Oscar, unfortunately, he does get put down a lot because I have to deal with Freya. You know, if she needs a toilet, he needs to wait. You know, trying to entertain a toddler as well sometimes when you've got a baby.
Mm.
You know, I don't do as many activities with him, so I did feel guilty. But having just that time one-on-one with the baby, I think that's really important. But again, it goes back to the phase thing. Like, everything is a phase.
Yeah.
And you know, like the sleepless nights and the sleep deprivation is like a killer, especially like if they're both poorly and things like that, you're up with two at a time. My husband is great, but I'm very conscious that he's at work during the week and I don't want, he's a butcher as well, so he's working with,
aww, you know,
very sharp tools. Yeah. I don't want him to be sleep deprived.
Did you not want any accidents?
No.
And I'm sure people don't want any
fingers in
there.
Yeah, there's just a pinky.
So, you know, I do take on a lot of the night shifts and things like that. But I guess the advice would just take each day as it comes.
Mm.
Like, don't be too hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I just wing it every day. And I just try my best that I can do.
Do you know, that's really raw as well, because I think people like to perceive themselves sometimes as like super mum constantly. On social media, I feel like you see a lot of pressure of, you look at other mums and you think, oh my God, they do amazing. They do this, they do that, do that. Everyone only shows their best parts, don't they? So to actually say you're winging it, we all are. Even those ones that put those posts up, they're all winging it. They take each day as it comes. and some days aren't as good as others. Even now, he's three. Sometimes I don't even get dressed until about two.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what day we're having.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, when Michael comes home from work, I'm like, I need 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel touched out. Like, one of them's been touching me all day long.
Yeah.
I never understood the whole locking yourself in the bathroom until I had a child, and literally as soon as
like, safe haven.
That's my safe place, like the toilet is my safe place. I get it, like it doesn't even need to be the bathroom, it can be the single toilet downstairs, like I get it. Yeah. And I actually lock it as well, because it'd be either Sam or she can open doors now as well, one of them will disrupt me. And I'm not even doing anything in there. I'm just sitting in there. Mm. And it's like a little peaceful haven in there.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
That's what you need.
I love it on a weekend when I can have like a long shower, because I don't have to worry that, you know, they're on their own or whatever.
Yeah.
And but I can just hear like them screaming and things like that. And I'm thinking, this is my moment. I don't care.
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen that thing that's like the meme of the woman in the shower and she's like having a relaxing shower and she's like, ah! And then she turns the shower off and there's no noise. It's actually just all in her head. I was like, that's what my head sounds like all the time.
You made me jealous not so long ago. She messaged me. She was like, I've just had a bath. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, I dream of having a bath in the afternoon. Oh my gosh, that's what dreams are made of. And I said, was it really nice? She went, yeah, I had bubbles. I went, oh God. Yeah. Like just
and
little
chocolate.
Thing. Yeah. And she went for the full works. So I was just like, what are you doing now? You're just laying in my bed, like, just chilling.
Just chilling.
I was like, oh, my God, no distractions, no. And it's funny, when we went away to Dublin, you think we'd be out exploring. Nah, we were in bed. What was I watching?
Married at First Sight.
I'd never seen it before. And we was tucked up in bed, like, after we'd been to Sunday service and everything. And I was tucked up in bed. I was like, isn't this nice? And she was like, yeah. I went, no distractions, can watch what I want. And I was like really like tucked up.
So you could have this life if you leave, Sam. Yeah. This is my life every other weekend.
I was like, really, is it this good?
She's like, can seriously considering it. I'm joking.
Sam, we love you.
Over text messages, you've done what?
We joke about it on every episode you being single. She does love Sam.
I do.
Well, thank you for
Sorry, I was just about to say about the bath thing, because we've got a walk-in shower. We don't have a bath. And so I've got like a mother's group, and they've all got baths, and they'll be like, oh, I've just put the babies to bed, I'm going to have a nice bath. And I'm like, no.
Oh, but a walk-in shower is
just lovely. Lay in the shower.
Yeah, just lay on the floor, just let it all
come over. Cover the plug and it will slowly start rising.
You know Claire?
Yeah.
So Claire sent me this link, and it's this like blow-up bath.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, get that.
And I was like, could you imagine, like, Michael just walk in and I'm just sat in the lounge in my blow-up bath.
Well, better yet, pumping up.
Yeah. I'll be there for an hour.
Is that a birthing pool? Now it's my bath.
I'm going to treat myself to a nice bath.
Oh, how funny.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you for coming on today. We did ask a couple of questions about age gaps, small age gaps. Dribbles, do you want to hit us with the
stats? Yeah, so we asked people if they have two under two. 36% said yes and 64% said no.
Do you know what baffles me? When I was at school, I remember I had so many friends who had like siblings in the year above or year below. And me, myself, obviously I've got 11 year age gap between my kids.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind that people, because I reckon probably now, if I was still with Jude's dad, I'd think, yeah, now I'd be ready to have another one. But up until probably this point now, would I have not even considered it, because it scared the life out of me to go in straight back into it again. But obviously, again, there's pros and cons to everything. Like, as you said, you really enjoyed the fact that they're going to be able to have the same interests. I really struggle on the weekends to find something that both of the kids want to do.
Yeah, you said
one of them has to compromise every time, and it's really hard. So, yeah, I think there's obviously pros and cons to it, but I really take my hat off to you, because mentally I just couldn't do it
I couldn't. Do you know what? There was a phase where Leia was probably around 9, 10 months old.
Yeah, you said.
And I was like, I think I'm going to go for another one. Sam was completely against it, but it was in my head. I was going to get it one way or another, right? I even threatened him with a sperm bank once.
I didn't know about that.
I'm not even joking. I went, they exist. I will go to one. We're on the same page now, though, so we're all good.
I don't want another one yet, now.
No, I think that was all my hormones were shot, you know?
You did say it took you a year.
It took me a year to balance out.
Yeah.
But I was
adamant I wanted another one and I wanted a really close age gap. And then Leia turned on me all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, God, you're evil.
Yeah. I was like, it's girls.
And then I was like, I love a boy. Because then obviously you've got one of each, you know, which is lovely. And I was like, imagine if there's two of her. I was like, oh, God, no. And then when they grow up, there's going to be two of her. And then if they were like me, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I got myself in a right faff about it. I didn't need to go to the sperm bank. No. Me and Sam were back on the right page again.
Yeah. You could have had your bubble baths every other weekend.
Yeah, no. It's like you're just having a moment and yeah. I was with you. I was like, okay.
You don't realise how much you can like piss off a toddler.
Oh,
like, I you can. Washing on and she went mental. And I was like, what's the matter? She was like, I wanted to put the washing on. I'm like, it's washing.
I flushed the chain earlier when he had done a wee. And oh my God, you would have thought I'd shot his dog.
I find myself though telling Sam, don't wind her up. Because he will. He'll wind her up. Don't wind her up. I feel like I've got two. I do feel like I've got two children sometimes. Because the things that I say to him.
I can't remember what the word was, but it was like it wasn't a swear word, but it was like a rude word. And Jude came running in. Mummy, Ezzy just called me. I can't remember what it was now, but I was like, Ez. And like you wouldn't think they'd argue, but it's constant. She's constantly like trying to wind him up. Like, it's my birthday. And she's 14. I'm like, it's not. Leave him alone. It's that for me. Right, we asked what the best part about having small age gaps are.
Yes, we did.
You've
said a few of these already, in all fairness. So one was the age-appropriate things for both soft play areas, etc., making it a lot more easier. Because even at soft play, don't you? You have the two and under section or one and under section, and then where all the other kids go. Yeah. So it's like having them...
You can't split yourself in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody said that they stay in the nappy phase without going back into it. But she said, seriously, the bond they have, they are more than sisters. They're like best friends, inseparable, two little peas who idolise each other. Also, the hand-me-downs. So that's good if you've got two girls or two boys. Or even if you like neutrals.
Yeah. And then someone else mentioned about having similar interests and teaching each other as they grow. I suppose Oscar's getting that, watching Freya walk in and like his crawling has come on and obviously he's standing. He'll be walking. I guarantee he'll be walking.
I'm actually scared for toddlerhood with Oscar. Like Freya, as much as she's sassy, she's a good girl.
Yeah.
She's very independent. And, you know, if I ask her to wait, she'll wait and things like that. And for her age, I think she is quite a good girl. Although I think I'm seeing what toddlerhood is actually going to be about with Oscar, because I think he's going to be a runner.
Trust me. He's going to be gone. I never had to have reins, stair gates.
I've had those.
Drawing on the wall, anything for.
I've had that.
No, yeah. Not a girl boy thing.
No, yeah. No,
she's a different breed. She's a bit wild. She's a wild child.
Yeah. No, Ez was like, she'd like to go out for like little cups of teas and cakes. And honestly, the thought of taking Jude, and you're the same with Leia, to a restaurant, it literally fills me with dread.
Me. People think I'm being rude. I'm not a very sociable person anyway, but when I say to people, no, I won't do that, I need a field, I need a playground, and she can run, and I will be 50% in the conversation that we're having, and the other 50% like watching my show, because she is a runner. We went out with Abby and Claire when they first had the babies, and we met down Wetherspoons, didn't we? My kids spent the whole time running up and down the marina while these lot were all sitting in Wetherspoons. And I was just like, this is just what it is now, because she would not sit still. But I've had reins, I've had the drawing on the wall, I've had stair gates, top and bottom.
Climbed over the cots as well. You've had to take
She's now, I've had to lower all the cot sides because my child would literally flip over the sides of them. And then it turned into a little game when the cots were lowered because the end bits were still high. And she would run around, climb up over and up again. And, you know, she thought it was the best thing since she is a climber.
Yeah.
I think people get worried when they see, like, she's got so many bruises.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, is she okay? Yeah, she climbs. She's a climber. Let it go.
She's going to be a rock climber when she's older.
Olympian. She'll be something. Yeah. She's fearless.
Right, worst part, or not worst, but hardest. The guilt of having to prioritise the second when the first doesn't understand why because of the age. Mm, that's it.
That's it.
The lack of sleep.
Yeah, it's got to be a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Temper tantrums happen at the same time. Two babies wanting your full need at the same time. The guilt of having to feel like you're letting your eldest down by having another baby while they are so young and making them grow up from the toddler phase a bit quicker.
So a lot of people actually said to me they've seen a difference in Freya since having Oscar. Like, yeah. She seems a lot more grown up. Aww. And she is a taller child, so a lot of people think she's older than what she is. But maybe she has. I don't... Like, because I see her every day, I don't see...
The changes. Yeah, I guess people that when you leave it a little bit and then you see them again. It's the same with Leia. Like, I see her weekly at swimming, but every time I see her, I think, oh, God, she's literally grown up, or she's talking more or doing whatever more. Yeah, so I get that. It is just, when you're with them all the time, you don't pick up on it, do you?
But I did, I made sure that we got Freya involved with things.
Yeah.
She loves getting, like, the nappies out and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped. And before Oscar came, we got her a little baby. And, you know, we have to be really gentle and things, because that's what I was worried about. Like, you know, she'd just, like, whack it.
Yeah.
the first, like, couple of, like, weeks, we were just finding our feet as a family of four. And we did notice a little bit of a change in Freya's behaviour. She was just getting a little bit more, like, naughtier, I guess.
Wanting
attention. And then that's when me and Michael sat down. We were like, right, we need to make sure that we're giving her attention and it's not all on Oscar. So if I was dealing with Oscar, he'd make sure that, you know, he was playing with her or giving her attention, and vice versa. So, yeah, it's definitely... Getting them involved definitely helped. And just trying to give that one-on-one time if you can.
Yeah.
And like I say, having people around you, like if you've got grandparents or aunties, uncles, that can help, so that you've got time with either just a toddler or the baby, that does really help as well.
I don't know where I've heard this, but somebody has said, I don't know if it was on the podcast or what, but to go for give more attention to the older one, because obviously they've put it in there anyway, but the youngest one doesn't realise, but just so that they don't feel like they've been pushed out. Maybe someone said that to me, actually.
And I suppose
pregnant.
It goes back to what you were saying about Oscar. You did more with Freya when she was Oscar's age than you have done with Oscar. He doesn't know any different.
No, exactly.
And I know that's mum guilt, getting you there.
Yeah.
But just admit, he doesn't know any different. And he probably looks and thinks, well, she's on the go a lot, isn't she?
Yeah.
Like, she's doing everything.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Oscar will have more of an understanding, whereas Freya did have that one-on-one time. Yeah. A bit like you, Inez.
Yeah.
You did have that one-on-one time. I'm so used to just having you.
Yeah.
It's going to be more of a change for them.
Yeah.
And Oscar, he seems chilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just chilled.
He's just along for the ride.
Yeah.
And he did just slot in.
Yeah.
With Freya, we were, like, quite regimented, like, naps and things like that.
Yeah.
And especially because she was such a bad sleeper at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to go through that, like, regression and things like that.
Yeah.
But with Oscar, we were just a lot more, like, he just came along with us. Like, we
you have
Freya
to just
around.
Slot. Yeah, you have to just slot them in on the second one. Because even, like, as they start going to school, you have to do school runs. You can't be as regimented, can you?
No,
and, like,
exactly.
Your plans and, yeah, you've got to be a bit... Go with the flow.
No.
They haven't changed my mind. I don't want another one.
Whatever.
Not for a long time, I don't think now. No.
It actually made, like, Oscar makes me more broody because he was such an angel baby.
Well, this was my question to you. Will you have another one?
Do you know what? I would love another one.
Yeah.
But Michael's already gone for a consultation for the snip.
Sperm bank, they exist.
Yes,
right, they exist.
You know
I can
what?
Give you a number.
But he did say to me, he actually said to me recently, he was like, I'm not 100% sure. Like, and I think if you're not 100% sure,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
And they're reversible.
Yeah, they are.
But
I think it's just such a rigmarole having to sort that out after.
Yeah, and actually having to go through that pain. Like, I don't think it's a...
It is quite an easy surgery, but still.
Yeah, but I don't think it tickles.
No. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And, guys, thank you for listening. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram, TikTok, and on YouTube. We are at @mamahood_. If you have any questions for Shah or anything you want to speak to us about or any topics you'd like us to cover, just slide into our DMs or send us an email to hello@mamahoodcensored.co.uk. Make sure you're leaving us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and we will see you same time next week.
Love you.
Bye.